Oh, sorry, Psalm 30. Psalm 30. And we're just going to read the whole psalm. It's the Psalm of David, and this is what it says. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depth and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, all you saints, of his praise, his holy name. For his anger lasts for a moment, but his love or his favor lasts a lifetime. Amen. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Yes. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain to stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O God, I call. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, help me. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and you clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will thank you forever. Amen. Praise his name. May he bless his word. Father, I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you your power has not diminished. Your love has not diminished. It's not diminished because you are the living God. You are alive today. I thank you and I pray today that your spirit will come and do what only he can do. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a psalm of David. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. It's a psalm of thanking God for his deliverance. In other words, because he said, when I was in the grave, you lifted me up. In other words, he had no power to lift himself up. He had probably no desire, no power, no friends, nothing could lift him up. So it's a song of thanksgiving. It's a song of about deliverance. It's a song of praise for the victory and the power and the love of God to those who love him. Great things he has done for us. It talks about his faithfulness. But I like how David starts this psalm. He said, I will exalt you, O God. To exalt, it means to lift up. You know, I've entitled this sermon, get your voice back. Get your shout back. Exalting God, because the one thing the enemy wants to do is take your voice. He wants to steal the praise that God has deserved. That's what the enemy done in the beginning. He didn't like that God was getting all the praise, and he rebelled because he wanted to be praised. And what he loves to do is try and silence the voice of God's people. Try and silence those who have been redeemed, those who have been called, those who have been chosen. He wants your voice. He wants your praise. And he wants to silence it. So to be lifted up, to be exalted, it means to raise up. It means to magnify. Because as soon as you start to magnify God, it's amazing how small mountains become. It's amazing how small giants become when you start to give God his rightful place in our life. Nothing's too difficult for him. No giant, no wall, no situation, no culture, no generation. Nothing in heaven or earth is bigger than him. And as you start to exalt him, you start to praise him, I'll tell you, you won't need to name it and claim it and bind it and nab it and grab it. If you just start to lift your hands and start to praise him for who he is, something begins to happen. No, I don't need any more steps to get close to God. I don't need to work my way into it. He's given me access. All I need to do is say, oh, listen, sometimes you've not got a voice. You can't lift your hands. You feel so weak, you don't even want to pray. But even if you've got a sigh, God, would you help me? Something starts to happen. That's why we've got the Holy Spirit. He says, you don't need to work yourself up. I'm going to send my spirit, and he's going to help you. When you've not got a shout, he's going to give you a shout. When you've not got a prayer, he's going to give you a prayer. When you've not got victory, he's going to show you the way through. Hallelujah. What a Savior. So get your shout back. It says it means to lift up, to lift the Lord, to give him place, to put him above everything else, to dethrone self. I'm dethroning myself. Because if I'm on the throne, when the enemy comes, when Goliath comes, when all hell lets loose, I'm no match for it. I've no power to lift myself. But when I'm dethroned, the further I get away from myself, the better. Anybody in here ever been really sick of yourself? You think, I'm even sick of myself. Seriously? You think, God, I've known you 20 years. Really? I'm tired of myself. God, help me. And David said, I'm going to start to exalt you. I'm going to start to magnify you. I'm going to start to glorify you. And as you start to do that, something starts to happen. You don't need to work it up. We don't know it need to be. Well, everybody, we're going to have a positive confession. We're going to try and stir ourselves up in the flesh. We're going to try and make something happen. If you've been saved and born again, and you've got some love in your heart for God, if you say, God, help me, I want to glorify you, I want to worship you, I'm telling you, something starts to happen. Amen. And you might not see it, but I'll tell you, the devil sees it. I want a shout by the end of this meeting, a shout in this house that will shake the foundations of hell. And the enemy will know that the people sitting here this morning are the redeemed of the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It means to reflect his goodness, to exalt his greatness, to bring to memory his power and remember what great things he has done for us. To acknowledge who he is above all circumstances. Acknowledgement. God, I need you. I depend on you. Hear what David said. He said, when I was strong, when I was established, he said, I was like a mountain. I thought I'd never be moved. And then trouble came, and I was. I relied on my own strength. I thought, you know, I'm further on than I used to be. I don't need you like I used to need you. To exalt him. To say to him, God, without you, I can truly do nothing. You see, if we're going to start to give him praise this morning, one of the tactics of the devil, and this is really important. This is really important. This, what I'm going to say next, is so important, it has ruined people's lives, people's ministry, and people's marriage and churches. The devil will tell you what you've not got, and that will stop you thanking God for what you have got. You will start to look at others who are blessed. You start to get envy. You start to get jealous. You start to pray and your prayers don't get answered quite the way you want or as soon as you want. You start to look around. I've not got this. I've not got this. And I've not got this. And I've not got this. And that turns into a grumbling and a complaining and a murmuring. And before you know it, you're putting that on other people. Did you see what he said? No, I didn't like that guitar this morning. That was a G suspended 7. It should have been a G suspended 6. Oh, be quiet and praise his name. The devil will bring you right down to a grumbling, complaining, backbiting, devouring each other. He'll take the praise out of your mouth and it becomes something. He'll tell you what you've not got. But I want to tell you this morning, take a deep breath. Let it out. You tell the enemy, I might not have nothing, but God gave me that breath to praise him this morning. God gave me this life to lift my hands to him this morning. I might be going through hell, but I'm going to worship him. I might be going through pain in my life, but I'm going to worship him. Because no matter what's happened to me, one thing I know, God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his name. I know what it's like. I used to be a grumbling, complaining. I nearly destroyed my marriage. I wore Fiona down. I can't believe we missed this bus. I can't believe that car's not working. I can't believe it's raining. I can't believe. And God said, I can't believe you're grumbling after all I've done for you. After all I've done for you, and you're still complaining. And I nearly destroyed it. I'm actually serious. I nearly destroyed it. I got a grumbling spirit got into me, a complaining, murmuring. And by the grace of God, one day he revealed it. And I repented. And I started to have a thankful heart. And I'll tell you, Fiona could testify from this pulpit, the change in our house, the change in the atmosphere. God had done something in me. God had reminded me that I was nothing. I had no power. I don't deserve anything from God's hand. That's the problem with a generation. There's a generation who thinks that there's an entitlement. God owes us nothing. And when you know you deserve nothing, you're grateful for everything. Hallelujah. 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 So the devil will say, you've not got this, you've not got that. You tell him what you have got. You say, see these shoes on my feet this morning, God gave me them. Hallelujah. See these socks that are inside the shoe, God gave me them. See the cornflakes I had this morning, I put the milk on them and the porridge and the toast and all of that. God gave me that. See my beautiful children. See my wife. See what God has given me. See the clothes on my back. You start, I'll tell you, you just need to start off with something small, and before you know it, you'll be there all day. You won't need to worry. Just go into a room and start to find two or three things to thank him for. And I'll tell you, then something else will come. Then something else will come. And before you know it, you're in a presence and you've got victory. Hallelujah. So stop looking at what you have got. Our brother said it this morning. Think of those things which are above. Anybody been forgiven this morning? Amen. Amen. Forgiven. What a word. Remember when you weren't. Remember the guilt. Remember the shame. Remember the filth. Remember the bondage. Remember the heartache. Remember the hopelessness. Oh, somebody give them praise. Somebody give them thanks. Somebody worship them. I mean, why, wicked God, would you give me more? And God says, you're not even thanking me for what you've got. Hallelujah. So the devil will remind you this week what you've not got. You should find a couple of things and remind them what you have got. And I'm telling you, I'm a testimony to it. Something will happen. You can, if you want to be a fault finder, you'll find it everywhere. Amy Carmichael says, if you can't see the best in people when they're at their worst, we know nothing of the love of Calvary. There was a man who wanted to get out of ministry once. Said, God, they're talking about me. All I've done is good, and I'm being slandered. All I've done is good, and I've been betrayed. They're saying things that are not true, God. And this is what God said to him. Whatever they say about you, and whatever they know about you, it's nothing compared to the truth.
Amen.
That's right. All of a sudden, grace is wonderful. All of a sudden, you remember my sins no more is wonderful. Amen. All of a sudden, you stop complaining about everybody else's life because you can't believe that you've got the life you've got and you've been forgiven and you've been rescued and you've been given grace. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His goodness. Hallelujah. David was thanking Him, not for what he didn't have. David was thanking God for what he did have. That's the sign of a true saint. I just want to read you something from, I'm not going to read the whole story, but from Daniel, sorry. You don't even need to turn there for time, but it's Daniel talking about Nebuchadnezzar. And this is what it says in Daniel chapter 4, verse 31. Nebuchadnezzar, who was a king, God had blessed him and God had prospered to him. Listen to what it says. The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what the decree of you, King Nebuchadnezzar, your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and you will live with wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives to anyone he wants. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. That what was said about Nebuchadnezzar was, you're full of pride and you think everything you've got has been by your own hand. And Daniel comes and speaks to him. And in Daniel 4:33, immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people, ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with dew from heaven until his hair grew like feathers and an eagle, and his nails like claws were like a bird. He had everything. You know what he said? Look what I've built. Look what I've done. Hey, look what my mighty hand has done. And Daniel said, this is what's going to happen. And it said the words were barely out of his mouth. And he lost his mind and he became a madman. And that's the state he was in. And then it says in verse 32, thank God. Listen to this. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, I raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored him and I glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is eternal. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the people of earth are regarded as nothing. He does whatever he pleases with the powers of heaven and the people of the earth. No one can hold back his hand and say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my sanity was restored. My honor, my splendor were turned back to me. My advisors and nobles sought me out and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven because everything he does is right and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Pride. Self. That strong. Remember Peter. Everybody will fall away but me. We'll make it through the night. Kind of spirit. We'll get there. We can do this. Nebuchadnezzar, in a day. Oh, how life can change in a day. Then he said, I couldn't even lift my voice. I was so broken. So I started with my eyes. I looked up. And then as I looked up, I got my voice. And as I looked up and began to praise him, then God got my heart. And then I acknowledged heaven rules. Heaven rules. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 19. Acts 19 and verses 14 to 19. Oh no, sorry, isn't it? It's I'm looking for Paul and Barnabas in prison, excuse me. Oh, Acts 16:25. Listen to this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. It's where they were praising him and singing, it was amazing. There was no organ, no guitars, nothing to put you in the mood, nothing to get your emotions going. About midnight, I mean the cheek of it, all the other prisoners are sleeping and they too decide to have a praise party. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains were loosed. Hallelujah. That's the power of praise. If you see, if you can praise God in your difficult situations, not only do you get free, other people start to get free. Chains fall off. Your heart begins to get free. Your mind begins to get free. You start to sing. You start to praise. That's why when we're in church, you don't know the other person's story next to you. You ever been in church and somebody's dancing up and down and they're going crazy and you think, what are they doing? I'll tell you what they're doing. You don't know their testimony. You don't know the prison they came out of. You don't know the pit they came out of. You don't know what God's healed them for. Leave them alone and let them glorify God and give them praise. I mean, we need to start dancing again. Honestly. I mean, this is a joyful religion we're in. This is a religion that's full of joy. It's full of hope. It's full of encouragement. It's full of peace. And I'm not saying it's easy to lift your hands when you're depressed. I'm not saying it's easy when we're in a dark place. But I'll tell you, I know this. If you just cry out, that's what all through the Bible, I cried to the Lord and he heard me. I cried to the Lord and he heard this poor man's cry. I cried to the Lord and he delivered me. I cried to the Lord and the prison doors were open. I cried to the Lord and he healed me. I cried. That's why, have you lost your voice? Or do you need to cry again? Oh, we're so dignified. We want everything just to be packed neat in church. Do I mess my hair? Do I break one of my nails? Do I want to get my trousers creased? When you have been delivered, when your chains have came off, when your mind has found peace, when your heart has found rest, you're going to dance. We need a fresh revelation of the incredible love of God. We don't need another people who are baptized in the Spirit. We need a baptism of love. Amen. We need a baptism where this power of praise comes into the depth of our spirit. And I mean, Paul and Barnabas and Paul and Silas were in a prison. I mean, they were putting their hands through the bars, praising them. And the other prisoner said, what on earth is that? It's two Christians, real Christians, who are not saying, God, get me out of this prison. God, get me out of here. They said, God, I don't care. You might have even put me in here for the other prisoners. I'm in this difficult place for somebody else, and I'm going to praise your name. I'm going to lift you up. You're not going to get my voice, because it's not about, you see, when you're a carnal Christian, get me out of this prison. Get me out of these circumstances. Get me out of this. There's a time for it, but you need to ask, first of all, why did you put me in here? Why am I in this difficult job with this difficult boss? And God says, well, start lifting your hands and thanking me. Start lifting your hands and praising me. And then before you know it, your whole office gets saved. Hallelujah. If there's an atmosphere in the home, get some music on. Get the kids, get the husband, get the wife. See, we're having a praise party. I just can't stop praising his name. Start to declare his greatness. You would be amazed. You would be amazed at the power of a grumbling spirit and negativity. It stopped 1.5 million people getting into the promised land. Only 2 entered in. 2 out of 1.5 million. Because that grumbling, complaining spirit affected a whole generation. Oh, it's serious stuff. It will keep you out of stuff. Might not keep you out of heaven, but it's going to keep you out of joy. It's going to rob you of his presence. It's going to rob you of joy. It's going to rob you of his peace. It's going to rob you of an atmosphere in your home or your work. Paul and Silas were in prison. They said, listen, I don't care what time it is. I don't care what the circumstances are. I'm going to declare your greatness. I'm going to declare what you've done. I'm going to declare what you have given me. I'm going to get my voice back. Because I lost my voice for a while, and God gave me it back. When I say I lost it, I was still speaking. I was still preaching. But inside, I was dying. And that could be you. And maybe you need to get your voice back. Some people have lost their voice for all sorts of reasons. Some people have been so battered down. And let me tell you this. When you get your voice back, God starts to use it Because you can be a voice to those who have not got a voice. That's why David Wilkerson went to New York and went to the drug addicts and helped them, because they had no voice. And he said, I'm going to be a voice for you. That's why William Wilberforce went and went to the courts and went to Parliament and talked about slavery and done things. He had a voice for those who had no voice. When you get your voice, somebody else gets a voice. When you get your voice, society gets help. When you get your voice, the drug addict gets help, the drunk. And the poverty, and the lame, and the weak, and those who the devil have robbed their voice. When we get our voice back as a church, then there are people beyond these walls will get their voice back. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You get your testimony. What does it say in Psalms? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, tell your story. Yes. Tell it on the bus. I've not had a car for a year because God told us to sell everything. I've been on public transport. Oh, what a journey, public transport. I mean, I've not had a bus for 30 years, standing at the bus waiting in the rain. But I'll tell you, you see life on those buses. You see life on those trains. You see people stressed in their faces. I seen another life I'd almost forgotten about. And we were talking to people at bus stops. We were talking to people on trains, talking to people on buses. We were just letting the redeemed say so. People we would never have met. When you get your voice back, because if the devil can get your voice, he's going to rob them out there of hearing his voice. The reason I want my voice back is not so I can preach. Preaching is a small part of my life. A very small part of my life. It's not my life. I thank God for it. He's called me to it, but it's not my life. I want my voice back so that I can help others. I want my voice back so I can speak to prison doors to be opened in Jesus' name. I want my voice back so I can lay hands on the sick and say, be healed in Jesus' name. I want my voice back so demonic forces that are robbing people and binding them, we can tell them to get out and let my people go. I want my voice back so I can praise them and exalt them with all the praise and all the love and all the thanks that I can get. I don't want a voice just to... I want a voice to preach and then go on the web to see how many hits I get. God help us. God help us if preachers are looking how many hits did I get. How far has your voice gone into the darkness to help set the captives free? What are you doing with your voice? Are you lifting them up? You're blessing your wife. Wives, are you blessing your husband? We're talking right to your children. We're talking right to each other. Come in and sing psalms and songs to each other. There's something about that. Don't wait for some conference and some big speaker to come before you get your voice. You don't need some big conference and some big speaker. Thank God for them. I go to them. But I'll tell you, all you need today is lift your hands and say, God, I cry to you. Help me get my voice back. And you'll be amazed how quick he wants to give you a voice. Listen to what it says in Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know the Lord that he is God. It is he who has made us and not ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to every generation. Now, I'm not saying I'm there yet. The next statement I'm going to make to you, and then we're going to be praying soon. But Job said an amazing thing in the midst of suffering. And it was incredible suffering. It actually happened. The pain was real. The loss was real. It must be one of the deepest tragedies, apart from the cross, that a man went through in the Bible. The pain of it. Business, family, everything in a day, the tragedy. And then he says the most amazing thing. And I'm not saying I'm there. But when I read it, I know there's a place. Though he slay me, though he slays me, I will trust him. I will praise him. I will exalt his name. God gives. Well, we like that, but that will get you worshipping. But when the world can see, when the enemy throws his worst, and we can say, and God takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. What a voice. What a testimony. What a voice. And it wasn't just his voice, it was the voice of God in him. It was the voice of the Spirit. Just one last scripture. Psalm 34, verses 1 and 2. I will exalt the Lord at all times. Everybody, somebody say all. Now, I know you've heard this before, but if you studied it in the Greek, do you know what it means? All. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Listen to what David says in verse 4 of that psalm I read out, 30. Sing to the Lord, all you his saints, and praise his holies. Talk to the saints, all the saints, praise his name. And I love the very last verse 12. That my heart may sing to you and not be silent. And the devil wants to silence your voice. Can you imagine? Well, let me put it this way. This is the difference of having a voice and not having one. You can sing about worshiping him, or you can worship him. Hallelujah. You can sing about worshiping him, or you can worship him. I mean, the worship I have in my living room on my own, it's nothing like, I mean, I wouldn't even show it to you. You'd be embarrassed. You're lifting your hands, you're praising him, you're giving it a bit of that, you're just thank you, Lord, you're giving. But here was just, and then we come to church and we go, we bless you. And God's like, come on, let it go. Let it go. I know what you do in your own house. Let it go. Let it loose. Get your voice. Somebody praise him. Somebody say thank you. Somebody say, thank you, God, you've been good to me. Thank you for all these years of your goodness. Thank you every time I fell, your blood's never lost its power. Thank you that I've grew even through failure. I don't know how you took my failure and you turned it into a miracle. God, you can do the impossible. I'm going to praise you this morning. I don't care if you fail 7 times. God will pick you up another 7. Because his grace is new and his mercy is new every morning. His love never comes to an end. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Anybody got a shout?
Yeah.
Anybody need to get the depth of your voice back? Anybody's voice been lost by another voice? See, that's what Goliath did. I'm going to paralyze the voice of the army of God. And David came, a little shepherd boy came down and said, well, I've been with God and I've got his voice and you're coming down. Don't try and intimidate me. Don't try and let the culture shut me up. Don't let the culture tell me what's right and what's wrong. I'm not living in this kingdom. I belong to another kingdom. And God says, speak, proclaim, declare, preach, glorify my name. You're not going to keep me silent. I'm not going to get the fear of man. I'm not going to get the fear of the culture trying to close me up. What do you believe? I'll tell you, even some places, even if you say you're a Christian, it hardly means anything anymore. I know what I say now. I'm a follower of the teachings of Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. Full stop. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a book. Get your voice back. You young people in here, you're in a world with many voices, thousands of opinion. But I want to tell you what I have in my hand is the final authority and the final voice. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. This is the final voice. This is the final statement. And he's gave it to me and he's gave it to his church. And he said, that's how to run my church. That's how to run your life. That's how to get victory. That's how to get your voice back. That's how to get healed. That's how to open prison doors. Hallelujah. Preach the gospel and proclaim it with power, with signs and with wonders and under the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me for a minute? Hallelujah. We give you praise. Hallelujah. 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 Praise his lovely name. You know, there's many times in the Bible, I could have read about Ezekiel. Ezekiel got a letter from a king, and he said, there's a vast army coming. There's a vast army coming, and they're going to take you out. And Ezekiel took the letter, and he spread it before the Lord. I won't read it out, but he starts to say, he doesn't even say, God, deliver us. The first thing he says is, God, you are a great and awesome God. Yes. Nobody's bigger than you. Nobody's higher than you. And I think, there's a place for saying, God, get me out of here quick. There's a place for saying, God, deliver me. But I think we forgot to praise God just where we are. Because sometimes you don't get delivered. Some shut the mouth of lions. They shut the mouth of lions. They conquered kingdoms. And others were killed because it was their time. And they died in faith. I love that. They died praising them. God, you're able to deliver us. But if you don't, we're going to praise you anyway. You're able to get us out of here. But if you don't, the devil's not going to stop me praising you this morning. I'm going back out those doors. And I'm going to take the praise of God with me. Yeah, the circumstances might not change, but I'll be changed going back in the house. I'll be changed going back into work tomorrow. I'll be changed going back into that place. That person walks in, they're not going to dominate the atmosphere anymore. I'm going to praise them. I'm coming against these giants. I'm coming against these demonic forces, these atmospheres that are in my job and in my place. God, I'm going to praise you. If nothing changes, I know that things are going to change because I'm going to change in my heart and I'm going to praise your name. Hallelujah. We got a song of praise, something that's, well, sing what you want, but the pastor's going to come and then I don't know if they're going to finish with a song.
Okay, listen carefully. I want you to note the changes to our midweek services, right? We're starting on Monday night with our prayer night at 7:30. Okay, Monday night, 7:30. Tuesday night, the Reconnect Open Arms with Herod and team will continue as usual. Thursday night, we have a new meeting starting on Thursday called Encounter. It's Encounter with the Holy Spirit, be led by Jay and Fiona, and the worship team will be here as well. So we'll have worship, Jay and Fiona preach. There'll be a time of ministry as well afterwards. And even if you want a cup of tea and a cup of coffee afterwards as well. So we'll see how it goes and how late the meeting goes on. So we're really excited about that because it's bringing us back the way we started as a church. That's where we started way back in the 1990s, 87, 88. All right, just a couple of other notes. 7:30, all meetings on the night time are 7:30. There'll be no changes, 7:30. Okay, Thursday night, 7:30, yeah? anyone like to be baptized, that means a full immersion. We're having one in the next 2-3 weeks, so please let me know and we'll be delighted to be able to baptize you. I want you to pray. There was a young boy knocked down by a skull or corn during the week, and he's up in the Children's Hospital in Dublin in a very serious condition. So let us pray for him, for his complete recovery, Lord. Lord, we thank you for him. Lord, we ask you now in the name of Jesus just to touch him in the hospital bed now this moment. And Lord, we ask you to return him to his family, Lord, healed and well. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm preparing a book, as I told you before, about a book of testimonies from people in the church. I would like to, for you to submit your testimonies to me, to put into this little book that I'm doing. And after receiving some